Yeah. jeden.
Der Vater hat einen Plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he's there, no doubt. When the storms around you rage and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life decisions, Lord, show to go. Standing still,
worship you, O Lord.
Excellent is thy name, O Lord. Savior, that's not 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 Nehemiah 2, verse 1, you find Nehemiah now is active He's part of the solution. His heart is in the issue. It's not something which is now referring just to his brethren, but it's him himself. It becomes personal. And we're saying that if you don't pray about something, that's very difficult to become personal.
Yeah, that's right.
So we may speak, let's build saints. Let's rise up. Let's build a house for the Lord. But unless you pray about it, it's never going to become personal to you.
Amen.
It's always going to be something which the church is doing, which other people are doing. But when you really take something to the Lord in prayer, you know, the prophet says prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us.
Amen.
Prayer brings us into a place where we come in harmony with his will. Somebody once said, prayer isn't to get our will done in heaven, but prayer is to get his will done on earth. And the more you pray about something, the more you start getting in tune with his will. And then you start finding your purpose, your place in his will. And as you know, Nehemiah started to look at that great day that he was in, that God was restoring. It was a time of redemption of Israel. God was restoring and restored the temple. Now he was restoring the city. As now Nehemiah moved into that channel, as he prayed and he sought the Lord and got closer and closer to the Lord, he started to see his name in that city. He started to see his place in that purpose of redemption. So what was taking place now was very personal to him. He had a very personal interest. His heart was in it.
Amen.
And friend, whenever God wants to do something, he's got to get the hearts of his people into it.
Amen.
And the best way to get people's hearts into it, one, is by prayer.
Yes.
And secondly, by the revelation of the word.
Amen.
Because
right.
the word also
Amen.
Opens up a channel
Hallelujah.
To allow us to move into that place that we fellowship with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And you may start off thinking of certain things, thinking you should do something or you know somebody else should do something. But as you start to seek the Lord, we'll see it with David, as you start moving deeper and deeper into that channel, you'll find that God is able now to communicate his perfect will to you. What he wants you to do. And many times, what God is wanting us to do is different than what we thought we should do.
That's right.
But if each and every one of us at this stage could really take this to heart to seek our part in the kingdom of God, our part
Amen.
In his divine purpose, our part in whatever this program is that he has before us, friend, the battle's already won.
Amen.
If each and every one of us have our heart in it, you know, we really, really have come to the place that it's not something which belongs to somebody else. It's not just a concept of something. It's not just a theory. But you have a substance because you believe about it. You know, you've gone with all your heart before the Lord, and the Lord now starts to move your heart. The Bible says the heart of the king, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
And he is able to move and direct it. So as you put your heart more and more in his hands, he can start to move you and direct you to the things which he wants you to do at that time.
Amen.
And it's very difficult to get anything done for the Lord outside of that.
Yes.
Whenever God has done something, there's always been a core group of people that came into that place.
Amen.
Before God could move, before God could establish anything, you always have to have someone like Nehemiah.
That's
you
right.
You always have to have somebody that was moved. And as we look in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we find David is moved once again concerning the things of the Lord's house. We've seen it, what God said about David. David was a man after God's own heart. And that's what I really want our thought to be today. Let's have a look at the characteristics of people who are people after God's own heart. And I'm sure that as believers, as we look into the mirror of the Word, as we look at the reflection of what God's desire is for his people to be, no, I mean, if you and I anything spiritual, we desire to be like that.
Right?
But we don't want to be people that have to be coerced, you know, that have to really be impelled by other people to do things for the Lord.
Amen.
No, that's not worship that's acceptable
yes.
to the Lord.
Yes.
But we want to be people that can be moved of the Lord. That our offerings and the things which we place before the Lord, the service that we do for the Lord, is done from within.
Yes.
No, that we are people after God's own heart. That's what we desire. And that's what now we find in 2 Samuel chapter 7.
Yes.
It says, and it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within me.
Amen.
And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with you.
Hallelujah.
And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David. You see, it's really interesting is that David had a desire, and he spoke to Nathan, and Nathan said, go and do all that's in your heart. Mm-hmm. They were sincere, but it wasn't God's will. Mm-hmm. You see, David had a desire. So now, the Lord now brings, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And he speaks to Nathan that evening, but God sees the desire that's in this man's heart. So God so respects David's heart. He's a man after God's own heart. He sees maybe that he wants to do something for you, but he's aiming it down the wrong line. So God is now going to open a channel of thus saith the Lord to the man to come and show him how exactly he can express this desire in his heart according to the will of God.
Amen.
According to the real purpose that God had for him. But he had to break into this realm. God had to open the channel to his prophet and then come now and minister David into this place. So that he could offer this really acceptably before the Lord. Mm. So the Lord now comes with, thus saith the Lord in verse 5, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Mm. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye me not a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep, from following the sheep to be a ruler over my people of Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou went. And I've cut off all your enemies out of thy sight. And I've made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that I know in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel.
Amen.
And will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. And that's our desire, see?
Amen.
We want to be in a place that we call our own, that we move no more.
That's right.
Amen.
Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. You want to get the beck and call of the landlord and people who change your rent and people who move from place to place. You want to be established. He says, and as since the time that I commanded judges to govern my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house.
Mm.
That's a powerful thing. Amen. David says, Lord, I want to do something for you.
Amen.
And the Lord says, I so respect what you want. He says, you know, I never asked anybody before to make me a house. But because of this desire that you have, though maybe you're not the one that's going to build this house, but in fact, David, because of what you've desired to do, I'm going to build you a house.
Amen.
Now, my friend, seek you first the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you.
That's right. Amen.
David's in a situation, he's dwelling in a house of cedar.
Mm.
God has allowed him to build a palace, to build a city, to build Jerusalem, to fortify the city. And David is in that situation where he doesn't feel comfortable with that.
Mm.
No, he sees the things of God. He sees the ark of God is dwelling in tents, in curtains, he calls it. And he says, but how can I be in such a place like this? God has established me. God has blessed me so much. God has given me this house. God has given me rest round and about from all of my enemies. Now, how can I be satisfied just sitting back in my throne and saying, oh, I'm enjoying myself? But what about God's thing? What about God's house? No, can we not? God has given me a permanent place. God has established my house. He's established my foundation. God has delivered me. He's taken me right from back there. There's so many things that He's done for me. Surely there's got to be something that I can do to express my appreciation to the Lord in some way, to His heritage and His kingdom for all that He's done for me.
Amen.
And friend, that's people after God's own heart.
Amen.
People after God's own heart, when God blesses you, and God delivers you, and God establishes you, and God gives you rest round and about from the enemies. You don't just think about yourself.
Amen.
You don't just start to see, but what can I do to show appreciation to the Lord for what He's done for me?
Amen.
And that's why David was a man after God's own heart. You think of it, friends. You think of David at that time. He wasn't happy with the situation.
Yes.
He wasn't. He couldn't be satisfied to say, but look at the Lord's things. And my things are better than the Lord's things. My house is better than God's house. Ah, friend, surely we can't be satisfied.
Amen. That's right.
That when we are told, we are not satisfied when our sofa has a tear on it.
Mm.
We're not satisfied when one of the chairs is broken. Surely we should never be satisfied in the house of God as well.
Mm.
It never gets to that. Surely the Lord's thing should be better than our thing.
That's right.
And surely our houses should be inferior to the Lord's house.
Amen.
Surely the facilities which were set up for the kingdom of God. I mean, all things must be inferior.
Mm.
And friends, if you have that kind of an attitude, you will never never want.
Yeah.
Because the Lord will say to you, okay, this was in your house. In your heart you build me a house, but in fact I'm going to build you a house.
Amen.
Oh, friend, that's what he continues to say to him. He says, in verse 11, he says, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. Amen. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. He said, I'm not only going to bless you because of this desire, but I'm going to bless your children because of this desire. That when you go to rest, when you go to sleep with your fathers, your son is going to build me a house. Your children are going to continue on the work that you desire to start. Oh, friends, you can never outgive God.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Never. But it's got to be your ultimate intent. David never sought a blessing from God. He wasn't seeking blessing. He wasn't seeking fame. He wasn't seeking fortune. He wasn't seeking those things. He was seeking to show appreciation to the Lord.
Amen.
He was seeking for some opportunity, some way that he could show gratitude in the outward form and the natural for the spiritual and the natural things that the Lord had done to him.
Amen.
And I think that's got to be our attitude as Christians.
Amen. Amen.
Seeking to do it. Just to enrich ourselves.
No,
no, but you want to do something for him.
Amen.
Because many times you're looking for some opportunity to show appreciation to the Lord. But friends, many times there's not many opportunities to do it. But then once in a while the Lord opens a door.
Amen.
He opens an opportunity in his season to say, okay, my people, now here's an opportunity for you to show your gratitude.
Amen.
And I would say we would be wise people at such a time to take advantage of that season.
Amen.
And to that with all of our hearts.
Amen.
Amen.
We may not get another opportunity.
Right.
To be able to express our gratitude to the Lord.
Amen.
To be able to say, but Lord, for all the things that you've done for me, what have I really done for you?
Yes. Amen.
Friends, God doesn't need our money.
Yeah.
God doesn't need us in that sense. You know, God, but he desires us to be co-laborers with him. He's not asking us to say, look, I want you to give me so that you can please me. We've already pleased the Lord. David had already pleased the Lord. He was a man that was acceptable before the Lord. So David wasn't doing this to try to win favor with God.
No.
Yes.
No, no, no. Don't ever do anything for the Lord like that. You try to.
Amen.
The only way you win favor with God is by accepting what he's done for you.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's grace.
Hallelujah.
You accept grace. It's not your works. Your works will never gain you favor with God.
Amen. True.
Friend, he says you can offer the cup on 1,000 hills. Which one of the prophets says, though I bring my firstborn and offer him as an offering to the Lord, though I could take all of the cattle upon the hills of Ephraim and come and offer them as a burnt sacrifice? That's nothing. But what does God desire?
Amen.
He wants a contrite heart.
Hallelujah.
That's the sacrifice. He wants a obedient heart.
Amen.
The spirit that will tremble at his word. That's what
Amen.
Says. That's what's pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
And David had that kind of a soft heart. Outwardly, he was seemed quite a rough guy. He was a man that shed much blood. That fought many battles for the Lord. But this man had a tender heart.
That's true.
This man had a heart which was for the Lord. His heart was in the things of God.
Yes.
And what's one way if you want to prove whether somebody's heart is in the things of God? So many people's heart seems to be in the things of God when things are tough for them.
Yes.
You know, when they're under affliction and the enemies are tormenting them and they're seeking deliverance, they'll be so committed to the things of God. But But David is his address.
That's right. Amen.
His address is at peace. It's during your times of peace that it rightly shows where your heart is. During your times of affliction. Everybody. I mean, when the engine fails on the airplane, everybody believes in God.
Right.
Everybody prays when the engine fails. But when things are smooth sailing, everything's going well in your kingdom, everything's well in your house, and you don't have opposition around you anymore,
amen.
Now you will see the expression of what's in the heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
And at that time, that's when David said, I can't be satisfied to get rest like this. I've got to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord then so respected that. And he says in verse 13, he says, verse 12, let's read it again. He says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father. And that is like this every time. That is the greatest blessing. The prophet says, if you really want to show gratitude to me, he says, do something for my children. He says, I prefer you to do something for my children than do something for me. And would we not desire that as well? Would we not desire the Lord to do something for our children more than we desire for him to do to us? And because David was a man after God's own heart, his heart was in the right place. And he wanted to do something to show his love and his gratitude to the Lord. The Lord looked down on that desire and said, David, you are a man after my heart. And I so appreciate that attitude inside of you.
Amen.
I so appreciate your desire. You're not going to be able to fully express that desire. Because that desire you have doesn't quite perfectly fit in with my will. But it doesn't matter. You're going to serve me. You're going to set things up. And your son is going to fulfill this.
Amen.
Oh, friend, that's a blessing.
That's right.
I'm sure every single one of us will desire it. So let's appreciate the seasons of rest.
Amen.
Friends, God has given us at this time rest from our enemies.
Amen.
We've been through our conflict. We've been through our toil. Now we've come to a season of rest. And if God gives his children a season of rest, there's always a purpose to it.
Amen.
Now David went into battles after this. He'd been in battles before this. But during the season of rest, it was an opportunity to build. It was no more that David had to use that gift and that ability, that anointing that he had to fight the battles of the Lord. He now had to channel that anointing and that calling and that burden and desire in his heart now to build and establish something for the Lord. You know, there's no seasons to do that.
Yes.
There's seasons to fight and there's seasons to build.
Amen.
You know, during times of warfare, you can't think of building. You can't think of establishing something permanent. But when God gives you a season of rest, when he gives you rest round about from your enemies, take advantage of that season. Because that season isn't going to last forever.
Amen.
Because soon after this, David's going to have to go back to the battlefield. He's going to have to go and fight the battles of the Lord once again. So while his heart is at rest, while now he can set his affections and his attention now to the affairs of the kingdom, to establishing the Lord's things in the kingdom, he needs to take advantage of that season. And I'd say, let that be for us, saints. Let's take advantage of our seasons of rest.
Amen.
Let's take advantage of these times that the Lord gives unto us, where he gives us an opportunity. He gives us a season, a window, an opportunity. And he says, now if you want to express something that's inside of yourself concerning me and my kingdom, now here's an opportunity. And that's what he did to David. And David used that present opportunity to show gratitude for the deliverances of the past. For the fact that God sent the prophet to him. And the prophet came and anointed him. And God commissioned him unto the throne. And not only that, great deliverances, the lion and the bear, Goliath, deliverances from Saul in the wilderness, all of the days of his affliction, his trials, the deliverance that God had ministered to him. David had so many things when he sat that day in Jerusalem that he could look back on and see the goodness of God inside of his life.
Amen.
And what about all the inspiration that he had? The psalms that he muted.
Amen.
What about the mighty men that God had given him to help him fight the wars of the Lord? The devil at that time, he used that time wisely. The first thing he did, he looked back. And he so much meditated and reflected on the goodness of the Lord towards him. And then because it was real to him how good the Lord had been to him, something started to move inside of him. To say, but Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? You've done so much for me.
Hallelujah.
What can I do for you?
Yes.
You've given me grace. You've given me mercy. You've given me honor. You've raised me up above my brethren. You've done all these things for me. Lord, what can I do for you? That's a good thing to pray, my friend.
Amen.
You can ask the Lord and say, well, what can I do for you? In this season, Lord, I know I can never repay the debt that I owe you. Not expect me that you think that I can repay that debt. But surely there's got to be something, Lord, that I can experience.
Yes.
There's something that's burning inside of my heart. I want to do something for you.
Amen.
And then the Lord said, okay, David, I'm going to send my prophet to you. And he's going to open the channel to you, and he's going to show you what you can do. And David was a real man after God's heart. He really, really was. So he really sensed that season. Now there's different anointings at different times. The prophet says there's a different anointing to preaching than there is for praying for the sick. It's the same spirit but a different manifestation. It's a different kind of a ministry, different kind of anointing. And to build is a different kind of an anointing that it takes to fight. So God now gave him rest for that. And now we're saying to him, okay, now this anointing that you've got, channel it. Channel all your resources. Channel the anointing that you received in this direction.
Amen.
Channel it into building your house. And friends, I think we need to do the same.
Amen.
We need to channel all the inspiration that you have.
Amen.
All the resources that you have. All the skills and abilities that God has given unto us. No, it's time now that we get under that anointing. Let God open that channel to each and every one of us, because every one of us has a part to play.
That's right.
Amen.
And nobody can take your place.
Amen.
Nobody can do what God has ordained you to do.
That's right.
It's something He wants you to do. And that's the reason we're here. That's the reason I'm here. And that's the reason He brings us a season.
Hallelujah.
And He gives us the opportunity. He gives us a window of opportunity. And friends, we need to use this opportunity for His glory. And for the sake of His kingdom. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? You read it in the Bible when he built himself a city and he built himself a kingdom. Look at the pride that the man had. You can tell David was a man after God's own heart. Nebuchadnezzar, he actually says it in the Bible. He says in the book of Daniel, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I've built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? And for the honor of my majesty, friend, people that have a heart after God, that's never the intention.
Amen.
You want to build something for His glory.
Amen.
That's right.
You want to build something for His honor.
Amen.
You want to build something for His majesty.
Hallelujah.
And as long as you go into it that way, God is going to be with us.
Amen.
That this isn't to exalt any person.
No.
This isn't to exalt any group of people.
Mm-mm.
But this is something that we want to express gratitude to Him. And we want to give Him an opportunity so that we can honor Him.
Amen.
So build something for His honor. Something for His majesty.
Mm.
That people may look and say, but hey, that wasn't just human beings that did that. Surely there's a God in heaven that allowed these people to do that.
Amen.
My friends will never take the glory for it.
Yes. No.
But like David will still not be satisfied. Even after you do that. You say, how is that? Because David, this wasn't the first time that he wanted to do something for the Lord. You know, he had been in Jerusalem before, and he had said, look, I'm not happy with this. I'm dwelling in Jerusalem, but the ark is in Shiloh. Can't you bring the ark closer to the people of God? And he wanted to do something for God. We know he did try to do God a service without it being His will. But it was the desire of his heart that God so much
as that.
He didn't go about it the right way. But David, even at that time, had a desire.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't just thinking of himself. He was thinking of the ark. He was thinking of the Shekinah. He was thinking, how can you bring the ark? How can you bring that presence of God? That covenant presence of God right into the midst of the people of God? How can you bring it from there to here? Yes, and I'm sure this time now he had learned his lesson. Because this time when he thought about it, he went and he consulted the Lord. He just read it, he sat with Nathan. And he says, look, you know, I'm really thinking to do this. To build a house for the Lord. Yeah, Nathan was a man as well as being a prophet. Nathan just as a man, because he knew that David was a man after God's own heart, said, go and do all that's in your heart, for God is with you.
Amen.
Friends, and then sometimes the Lord sees us and he knows that we're not quite going in the right direction. Because sometimes you can give advice to someone, someone can give advice to you. And it may be very sincere advice. And the prophet says, if we're sincere in it, even if you give it wrong, God is obligated to correct us. And this advice that Nathan gave him was sincere. But it wasn't God's thought. It wasn't God's purpose. You know, it was the prophet was telling him, I think this is fine. But friends, we can never rest our souls upon what people think. We've got to take it back. The Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
That's right.
He says, my ways are not your ways.
Amen.
As far as the heavens are above the earth.
Yes, sir.
So the Lord now, because he saw this man, has his heart is right.
Amen.
And he had a prophet in the land at this time. God opened up his perfect will to the prophet. He came and unsealed that purpose that he had to his prophet and said, okay, he's not going to put it by his son. But there's a lot that I want him to do.
Amen.
Friends, there was still much that he was supposed to do. David, you're going to read what he did. The first thing that he did, he wrote psalms to be sung with him. He knew how look, I might not be able to build this. He set in order the course of the Levites, the sons of Asaph, all those things. That was all David that set those things in order. He did whatever he could. And there were still battles of the Lord that needed to be fought while the temple was being prepared. Yeah, and he went and he fought the battles of the Lord. You know, so although the Lord never permitted him, he had a desire to say, I want to really do this.
Amen.
That's a real, real something again of somebody who's got a heart after God.
Hallelujah.
A man after God's heart, even if the Lord says, no, I don't really want you to do this, I want you to do that. You'll be perfectly satisfied in what he says.
That's right.
Amen. You'll be more satisfied in his will than you will in your will. And when the Lord said it to David, you're not the one to build it, you never find David complaining.
No.
Amen.
He was satisfied. He's looking on what then
can be. Amen.
And the Lord opened up plenty of opportunity for him still to express his gratitude to
him. Hallelujah.
And friends, not all of us can do everything.
No.
But there's something that every single one of us can do.
Amen.
And if we seek his face and our hearts are right, he'll open up a channel of inspiration. You'll open up a window, a door of opportunity that you will be able to contribute something that God never intended anybody else to contribute.
Amen.
That there's a certain place that you alone can fulfill.
Amen.
And that's really what he wants. So David speaks to the prophet and the prophet comes back. The prophet actually says in blind Bartimaeus, we've read this before, he says, you know, there's a wonderful thing. God doesn't tell his prophets everything.
Yes, sir.
He just tells them what he wants them to know.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything. They can't do it in themselves. Could you imagine Isaac sitting blind and blessing Jacob instead of Esau?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing, friends. Mm-hmm. God hasn't revealed everything to his prophets.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't reveal it to Nathan at first. Nathan at first was going down the wrong track.
Mm.
Then God had to come and say, this is
Hallelujah.
Necessary for the same. You need to understand this, Nathan. And it's amazing. And David, he was a prophet. He had his own channel of inspiration.
Right.
But he wasn't the prophet.
Mm.
He wasn't the prophet to the age. That was Nathan.
Mm.
So David's inspiration, David's leadership had to be subject to the leadership of the prophet. Had to be subject to thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what he did, no matter what he felt to do, David, we've seen it before, he needed to make sure that he went and he checked it with the prophet.
That's right.
My friends, that's what we like to do in anything that we do. Let's go and check it with the prophet.
Amen.
Let's go and make sure that the foundation of what we're doing, anything we decide to do, is thus saith the Lord. They have a confidence that this is God's perfect will.
Amen.
And when they went and they checked it out with the word, like the prophet says, you know, it was revealed to David that David has other things in mind. I want you to do these other things for me. But it's going to be Solomon who rises up to do these things. You know, and David, he says it in Psalm 84. This is a real attitude of a servant of God. He says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000.
That's right.
I'd rather be a doorkeeper
Amen.
In the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Say, Lord, even if you just make me a doorkeeper, as long as it's in your house, as long as it's your will, I'm going to be satisfied.
Amen.
A day in your courts is better than a thousand words. People might pat you on the back and call you some big thing out there. But friend, it's better to be a doorkeeper.
Amen.
It's better to do something that seems so insignificant, but God pays attention to
it. Amen.
You may come just with your two mites.
Amen.
Come in the old age and come and put it in the offering and the building fund. And you'll think, but I can't do what other people do. But when God looks down at the attitude of your heart,
He's
more pleased with those two mites than He is with people that have got plenty, but their heart isn't in what they do.
Hallelujah.
It all depends on the attitude of the heart.
Amen.
That's what He's looking for. That's what makes a pleasing sacrifice to Him.
That's right.
Is the attitude, the intent of the heart. The purpose that you have.
Amen.
You may desire to do more like David did, but be unable to do it.
Amen.
But he was going to do whatever opened up to him, he was going to do it. He was going to do it with all his heart and all his soul, all his strength, all the resources that God had given to him. He was going to channel that into what God opened up for him to do. And I think that's all that we need to do, friends. We don't need to ask other people.
No.
We don't need to go and seek help from elsewhere.
No.
Our help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
We just need to make sure that we people are to the heart of God.
Amen.
That we're entering into this the right way.
Yes.
That we hold to an objective is right. That we want Him to do His perfect will.
That
allow Him to open up the way we just follow. But when He opens up the channel, make sure you pour everything into
it. Amen.
When God opens up, the Bible says, we quoted on Friday, whatever your hand finds to do, do it all your might.
Amen.
That's where now your talents and your abilities, that's where your resources, your time, your strength, whatever it is that the Lord has given to you, that's when you'll use them. Take it for the first time in your life, the correct way. Like Brother Wilmer, he may have used his architecture many, many times to help with the hospitals and things, and that's good.
Mm.
Yeah, the Lord blesses that. But then there comes an opportunity to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, for the first time, you really use that
gift.
Amen.
And you may have resources as well. You may have ideas. You may have inspiration. You may have contacts. Whatever the different resources the Lord has given unto you. And you may never fully have appreciated and understood why God has given you favor with certain people and given you certain skills and talents and abilities until the time comes like this.
Amen.
And then like Esther, it's ministered to you, saying that those things were given to you for a time like this.
Amen.
Those things were ministered to you for you to use at this time.
Amen.
You may have partially used them before, but there comes a time when it becomes clear.
Amen.
Like Oholiab and them, you know, and Bezalel, when the tabernacle was being built, and God had given them a lot of wisdom and skill. And then the Lord said to Moses, I filled them with my spirit.
Amen.
Now the skill, the ability, the carpentry they knew, the sculpturing, whatever it was that they knew how to do naturally, the Holy Ghost now came and overshadowed those men. And allowed them now to enter into the divine vision. That which Moses had seen in the vision of building the house of God. There were people that had natural skills and abilities now. They entered into that same channel of inspiration. Each of them in their own calling. And they now could catch what Moses was presenting as a concept. As a revelation. And they could now bring it into being. They can now translate that with the gifts and abilities, with the unction and the spirit of wisdom that
God had. Hallelujah.
And they could now bring into being the very things that God had in His mind. And here came the ark, and here came the candlestick, and here came the brazen laver. And all these things that nobody had ever seen before. The only one had seen them was the prophet, had seen them in a vision. But God now had people with skills and abilities which had been predestined unto them. Because He had been guiding your footsteps right from the days of your youth.
Amen.
He had been preparing you even beforehand.
Uh-huh.
You know, God doesn't start preparing you now.
Yeah.
God now starts to quicken that which He's prepared.
Yes.
That's right.
The season that He wants you to manifest, what He wants you to
Hallelujah.
Manifest. So every single one of us, God has invested a lot.
Amen.
God has invested so much. That's how the prophet preaches investments. Think of how much God has invested in you.
Yeah.
Think of it. Think of all the times He's visited you, all the times He's spoken to you. The times you've opened up the word and God has taught you. God has instructed you. Think of the discipline He's put inside of you. Where He's corrected you. Where He's disciplined you. Where He's shown you the right way from the wrong. Think of the people that He surrounded you with. That He inspired you. Impart things into your experience. And then maybe they went another way and you never saw them again. But they put a certain something, a certain essence into your experience. And you never understood it before. There come seasons of opportunity when God opens up a door.
Amen.
Now you'll understand why.
Amen.
You'll understand now why I made you the way that I did. You'll understand why I've allowed you to go through the things that I did. And friend, if you pray like Nehemiah, get in the spirit of it, and you get anointed like Oholiab and Eliab, and you get into the spirit like those ones did, you will start to bring forth things in this kind of a season.
Amen.
That nobody else ever knew was in you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God knew was in you.
That's right.
And it was an appointed time that those things should come forth.
Mm.
Our friends, I do believe that. And everything is a body move.
Amen.
Friends, we've got a tremendous foundation on this.
Amen.
My brother Will and Brother Dave, they've done a tremendous job registering the church, getting all of those mechanics in place that we require. Then we've got the saints that have got the building project, Brother Shelton, Brother Will, Brother Mike. They've done a lot. Saints have contributed towards that. You know, we have a tremendous foundation that's already been laid. But why I came on Friday and spoke the way that I did is that we wanted to move beyond just those saints. We wanted to be everybody in the world. Now that everything's set up, now that the platform is laid, there's something for every single one of us to do.
Amen.
Some saints already have contributed things which we sold and raised money. Now there's so many different ideas, so many different inspirations, so many different things that you only can think of because of the way God has made you and deals with you, that none of us will ever think of.
Amen.
But there's certain channels of inspiration, certain windows of opportunity, certain contexts that you have. Certain things that you can do at a time like this if you get in the spirit, nobody else will be able to do. And God will bless you while you do it, and God will bless you for doing it, and God will bless you for even having the desire to do it like you
did.
That's right.
Just having a desire. But the key thing, first of all, is you've got to be like me and I'm getting the spirit. You've got to see the project. Rebuilding Jerusalem in His day. You've got to see the need. You've got to see, you know, what's on God's heart, what's in God's mind. And you've got to enter in so that it becomes personal to you. So that it's not your daddy's church or your mommy's church that's being built. And it's your church.
Amen.
This is our church.
Amen.
This is us together doing something.
Amen.
Amen.
And then when you get a group of people together like that, my friend, that's incredible.
Amen.
You saw on Friday the Tower of Babel. They had a massive amount of people. But God wasn't in the program.
Amen.
So it came to a confusion in the end. But sometimes you can just take a small handful of people and let God be in it. And it's incredible what can
happen. Amen.
What God can establish just with a few people that are in His hand, that are in the center of His will. It's incredible what God can do. Look at Daniel's mighty, David's mighty men. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's just remember this principle as well. That David was a man after God's own heart. And the mighty men that he had were people after God's own heart. That God surrounded David with people that were after His own heart as well. 2 Samuel 23 verse 15. You know the story well about David when he desired water. It says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So David's the type of Christ. He had a need, he had a desire. There's a certain something that he wanted to drink. He wanted to drink of the waters of the well of Bethlehem. What he used to drink before. And it says in verse 16, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto them. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did this three mighty men. Our friends, you'll see two things here. You'll see the three mighty men, and you'll see David the way he
is. Amen.
David was a man after God's own heart. David was going to take no glory from God. When God would move upon his people to do great things, David never took it upon himself to say, that's because of me, or that's due to me. But when these mighty men at the risk, like he says, this is almost the blood of these men. This was a great sacrificial act. This was something where these three mighty men went well beyond the bounds of normal duty. They were willing to risk themselves. Why? Because they knew the anointing was upon him. As the prophet says, the anointing is upon the message of his coming.
Amen.
Our friends, this was the rejected king. And this message we understand is the rejected king.
Amen.
People don't realize what it is. People don't realize what's in the heart of this message. People don't realize this is Christ in the same.
Amen.
It's the rejected king just as much as he was the rejected king. Christ was the rejected king as the son of David. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But though he was the rejected king, there were people that realized and recognized who he was.
Amen.
And when there came a need, and when David said, oh, if only I could get a drink from the waters of the well at Bethlehem. Friend, this is what the prophet says, and there's a man that can turn on the light. He says, David laying on the hill that day, he looked down and saw the Philistines garrisoned around like that. Must have been hot and thirsty. And he said, oh, if I could just have a drink from that well once more.
Hallelujah.
Why the least of his thoughts was a command to those who loved him.
Amen.
He didn't have to ask them to do it. He just expressed his desire. He wasn't meaning, go get me water. He was just saying, if only I could drink. Oh, friends, and if Christ can be like that, if the least of his desire that he has can become a command to us.
Amen.
And friends, for them to obey this desire of the rejected king, what is it? It was a tremendous sacrifice they had to make. Mm-hmm. You can never walk with Christ in your age without sacrifice.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Can never worship acceptably without sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Sacrifice is part and parcel of our religion.
Amen.
Right from the beginning. Amen. When God so loved the world that he gave.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of Christ is sacrificial.
Amen.
And just as much as David was willing to give everything, this mighty man as well. Because there was such a reflection of Christ in David.
Amen.
And there's such a reflection of Christ in the message.
Amen.
There's such a perfect revelation and reflection of Christ.
Amen.
That when we see the message has a meaning, we need to establish something.
Hallelujah.
So this message can be better established. Friend, you're going to find people are hearts are going to be moved by.
Amen.
Not because somebody tells them they need to do something. The kingdom of God is built on free will.
Hallelujah.
It's built upon when God moves upon his people.
Amen.
I really believe God's principle is shown here. The only thing you have to show the children of God is the need. You don't have to tell the people to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
You just show genuine sons and daughters of God the need. Let Christ just express his need and see how the hearts of his mighty people start to move.
Amen.
People start to move. I believe that's all we need to do to build the church.
Amen.
We just need to come and tell the church the need.
Amen. Amen.
These needs, saints, this is what we need.
Amen.
And then we see now people respond.
Amen.
When people will respond. People respond financially. People respond with their time, with their effort. People respond, more importantly, with their prayer.
Amen.
People will sacrifice like these three mighty men. They'll go well beyond what David was ever expecting people to do. But the prophet says that his thought was a command. And he says, so is it today. The least of Jesus' thoughts upon his word should be a command to we Gentiles who love him. And the Lord lays something upon him and said, I don't know. Like when Jesus came to Peter and said, come in for the Lord. Cast out. My. And then Jesus preached in his boat. Peter gave the Lord. He could have been using the boat to catch his fish at that time. It was a sacrifice. But my friend, God is no man's debt.
Amen.
When Jesus had finished preaching, he says, cast out the boat. He says, Master, we fish till a man. But at thy word, we'll cast out
the boat. Amen.
Amen.
So we fish the boat almost. I bet you get their brothers, James and John, to come and help them both so they can take over.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the principle.
That's right.
All we need him to do to us is express his need.
Amen.
And as his bride, as a people that desire to please him, listen, he has an opportunity for me to do something for him. He's done so much for me. Now he has an opportunity for me to do something for him. And that's what these mighty men do. Listen, he has a chance, he has an opportunity. Nobody else is taking this opportunity. We may not feel as the most qualified people to do it, but a window of opportunity is open to us. They never thought of the consequences. They never thought of the price that maybe they were going to have to pay. They just were caught up under an inspiration.
Amen.
When David spoke, they were caught up in that inspiration. And they went down there. The prophet says that. He says that the least of David's thoughts was a command to those Gentiles. For they were a type of the Gentile church today.
Hallelujah.
So those, the type could be moved like it. What about the reality? That the shadow could do something. What about when the substance itself is there? Friends, you'll be surprised what we can do. When we really get ourselves in that place to say, Lord, glorify that. Lord, your will be done. And these three men, it really goes to show one thing. It goes to show the power of love.
Amen.
The power of divine love. Because if you have divine love, if you love the Lord, it will overrule anything.
Amen.
Now when that woman came with the alabaster box, it was love. It was love for Christ. She had forgiveness of sin. Christ had done something for her.
Amen.
And now there was an opportunity nobody else was ministering to. Yeah, he was sitting with dirty feet. And she found an opportunity. She might have looked around and said, but surely there's better qualified people here to wash his feet. And it was. Yeah, there was the foot wash. They should have done the job, but they didn't do the job. But she saw an opportunity. And when she came, she didn't care what other people thought.
Amen.
That's what it is when the Lord opens up a channel to a person. And a person starts moving in that divine channel. It's just you and the Lord.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that the disciples will complain. Saying she's wasting this. It should have been sold and given to the poor. It doesn't matter what Simon, the Pharisee, was saying about it. Doesn't matter what all the people that were around about were thinking. Friend, she had found an opportunity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
She had found some way to express the something that was in her. And she didn't know how else to express it. And so what did she do? She went and she got the best thing that she could. The promise is maybe it was the pension. Maybe that was 1 year labor. That's what it cost. Think about it. 1 year's wages. That's what it cost to buy the alabaster. Imagine how long her with her profession would be safe. And maybe that was her future. Maybe she was thinking, one day I'll be able to sell this and get out of this hardship. No, one day I'll be able to sit myself up. Yeah. But her future seems to have been tied up in that alabaster box.
Amen.
And then when she saw a need for Christ, now she realized the real reason.
Amen.
She didn't know up to then why she was impelled to store up that alabaster box. But now in the inspiration when the Son of Man was there, and she saw a need that the Son of Man had, she could minister to his body. She didn't go get inferior things. She didn't go get the second best. She knew this is a good one. He deserves the best.
Amen.
More than our best.
Amen.
And she went and she got that alabaster box. Now you think, maybe there's people here that earn 40,000 euro a year, 60,000 a year. Imagine the sacrifice she made.
Yes, sir.
1 year's wages. 60,000, 40,000.
Amen.
Imagine you taking 1 year of your wages. And then there comes a need. And you come and pour it out. My friend, can I tell you what your name is? Your name is Barnabas. That's what Barnabas did in the New Testament. When there was a need among the disciples, he went and sold his land, sold the things that he came and he laid it at the apostles' feet. No one told him to do that. There was something inside of his soul because of the experience that he had. And because of the opportunity that arose before him. Mm. And he saw, I may never have an opportunity like this once. Mm. So I'm going to take this opportunity. Right. And I'm going to pour everything. I'm not going to take other people as the measures. Because other people were bringing whatever they could. And God blessed them for that.
Amen.
Not everybody was able to do what Barnabas did.
Amen.
But Barnabas didn't use other people as the stand.
Yeah.
Mm. Barnabas entered into a channel between him and the Lord. And the Lord moved something upon his heart.
Mm.
And to show that it was so pleasing to the Lord, when he came and he laid it at the apostles' feet, the Spirit came upon the apostles and they called him Barnabas, the son of consolation.
Amen.
That's what they called him.
That's right.
Oh, friends, that's how you want to be.
Mm.
You may not be able to give much material, but there's something that you can do.
Amen.
There's something the Lord will open up for you to do.
Amen.
And when he opens it up, do it with all your heart.
Yes,
amen.
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 A woman with an alabaster box, she came and she poured it all out for them.
Hallelujah.
She never said, okay, let me just pour a little bit, I'll keep the rest just in case.
Mm-hmm.
She never did that.
Amen.
She said, look, I can get by without this.
Amen.
And for all that he's done for me to hold this back now when he hasn't been like this.
Amen.
She came and she poured it all out.
Amen.
After the whole room was full of you.
Amen.
That's how powerful the testimony was.
Hallelujah.
The testimony changed the atmosphere of the place.
Mm.
Where there was a critical atmosphere. Where there was people that were saying it's a waste. But friends, when that fragrance started to go through,
amen.
That fragrance, the Bible says, filled the whole house.
Mm.
Amen.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing when something comes out of all their hearts.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It brings forth a pleasing fragrance before the Lord.
Amen.
And every single person who left that place went smelling of that fragrance.
Amen. Amen.
People took it home with them. When they went home, they could still smell and say, remember that. Remember what happened.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, that's the way that you want to be.
Amen.
That's really the way that you want to be as a son and daughter of God. Because love is sacrificial.
Yes, sir.
Love is not foolish.
Hallelujah.
Love is not something which, you know, does foolish things. But love is something that when it finds the right opportunity at the right time to express itself, it doesn't hold in.
Amen.
And it's proved by God.
Mm.
When he gave us what we needed, he gave us the best. He never held anything back.
Amen.
God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave the best that he could as an expression of divine love to us.
Amen.
And friend, anybody catches a revelation of that. That's why we gave our lives to him.
Amen.
That's why we laid our souls upon the altar. That's why we don't care what people think about
us. Amen.
We gave our reputations to him.
Thank you, Lord.
No reputation.
Amen.
No reputation.
That's right.
We're willing to take on the form of a servant.
Yeah.
We're willing to humble ourselves and become nothings in this world.
That's right.
Because it's pleasing to him.
Yeah.
And if the supreme call comes, like it did in the Dark Ages, and he calls for people that he may be glorified in their deaths, look how willingly those that were governed by divine love took all that they had and poured it out as an offering for the Lord. And friends, it was pleasing.
Amen.
I've been recorded in his word, Antipas, my faithful martyr. The problem is all history you can search and you don't find Antipas anywhere. But God remembers Antipas. And that's the most important thing. No person may record your deeds of love that you do for the Lord.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
That's not why you're doing it.
Amen.
But that's the motive you do it. Don't do it.
Amen.
You go and wait upon the Lord and love constrains you to do
it. Amen.
And then you don't want other people to know. That woman came and poured it out good for the other people to see.
No.
It was for him because of the greatness of her love.
Amen.
Jesus says your sins are forgiven because of the greatness of your love.
Amen.
Oh, she poured it out for him. And that's the kind of opportunity in those certain seasons like David had. When like Nehemiah had. He'd been living in the palace, everything was going well. He didn't think of anything in his future. Then the Lord opened up an opportunity.
Amen.
And he saw that, my, this position I've got at the right hand of the Lord. This position as a king's cupbearer, one of the most honored positions in the kingdom. This access I have to the king. This access I have to all these resources. As he prayed, it started to dawn upon him. That's why I'm here. He might have always wondered before to say, look, you know, my father, my grandfather, they never went back to Jerusalem, but the rest of the people went, they went back. Because a lot of them, 46,700 already went back.
Mm.
And he may have questioned himself when he was in the palace, saying, I wonder why it is that my dad never went. When Cyrus issued the proclamation and said, whoever's heart the Lord stirs up, let him go back and burn the Lord's house. Why is it my parents never took me? But there was just something inside of him that he could feel, no, wait. Maybe sometimes at times his human passion, his emotion, making him feel, I'm giving this up, I'm going to go join the people down there. But there was something that changed him.
Amen.
And told him, just wait. And in due season now, when that seal of redemption was opened, God's mystery of that age was being opened, he saw himself there.
Hallelujah.
He entered into a spiritual place that he saw himself there. And then he understood why he was born where he was, why he was working where he was, why he had access to the resources that he did. It was for that season and that time. And friend, when he caught that revelation, he so prayerfully approached it. He realized, this is sacred things, this.
Amen.
I need to approach the king. Imagine, you go to the king and ask him, I need a little bit of time off. How many weeks do you need?
12 years.
12 years he was given. That wasn't easy for him.
That's right.
But friend, he was impelled to do it. Because he entered into a certain place that, like Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. That there was something that had to be done. And it didn't matter the consequences of what people were going to do. Something needed to be expressed. And he needed to express that something that was inside of himself.
Amen.
And he now had found his purpose, and he had found his destiny. And he had found his reason for being. And that's how you'll find that man poured it all out.
Amen.
And even when he went down there to Jerusalem, he never took the wages that he was due. He never ate the sumptuous food that he could have been the captain of the kingdom.
That's right.
Because he wasn't doing it for that. He wasn't doing it to enrich himself. He was doing it because there was a need.
Amen.
He was doing it because the city of his father's sepulchres needed to be rebuilt again. The city of David, the city of God. Something needed to be done. And there was nobody else that could do it. Let it come to man's heart. And then you already see people bring something forth that's so pleasing.
Amen.
Become something that is so pleasing because love is sacrificial.
Amen.
Let's draw things to close. Let's speak about this. One more thing about David is that let's read the scripture first. Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's look at David once again at the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Now David had sinned against the Lord and made a census count of the people. The plague was among the people. So the Lord revealed now to David that the way to get rid of the plague is was to offer a burnt offering. So he comes in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 21. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offering, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. You see what's happening here? David's coming to do something for the Lord. He's coming to make an offering to the Lord. And this man's trying to say to him, I'll give it to you for free. And David is a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
David knows in the things of the kingdom of God, nothing is for nothing.
Amen.
Nothing that is not a sacrifice.
Amen.
There's got to be some cost. There's got to be something in your offering for to be accepted before the
Lord.
And that's why David says it to him in verse 24. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price.
Hallelujah.
For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord.
No favors.
Right. Do you feel comfortable coming and other people pay the rent of the church and pay tithes offerings? And you don't. You come and use the same resources as the rest of the people, but you're not paying. The same as other people do. That's not the heart that David had. Look what David says, let's read it again. I will not take that which is dying for the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
No, I don't want you to pay for my worship.
Amen.
I don't want you to pay.
Amen. My
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. You
Amen. Amen.
Mm. Surely, if your heart is in it, you want to pay this prayer. You want to join in.
Amen.
You want to be part of whatever sacrifice that needs to be made, whatever price that needs
Amen.
To be made. Surely. Then can you like David? Otherwise, you're not like David. David, when he sat in his house, everything was going well. He wasn't happy with that.
Mm.
He said, I want to do something for the Lord. I want to express something for him.
Mm.
So we can't just come and sit here and think what it's been. Yeah. And as we entered the building project, surely if you've got a heart after God, is it possible you can leave other people to do the work?
No.
Is it possible that you'll be able to sit when other people are sacrificing
no.
Amen. The time, the effort, mm-hmm. and the resources? Will you ever be able to be satisfied? No son or daughter of God could.
Amen.
If something burns inside of your soul.
Amen.
And when you see testimonies of other people, mighty men doing things, it'll spur you on to say, look, I might not be able to do what they do, but at least if there's something
Amen.
I can do,
Amen.
I want to express
it. Amen.
And that's why it says, I will not take that which is dying from the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost.
Amen.
He said, I know the Lord, if I'm going to take somebody else's sacrifice, and I come and offer an offering and expect it's going to be pleasing to the Lord.
Mm.
The Lord's not going to accept that.
Mm.
I've got to pay.
Mm.
I need there to be some sacrifice. Because, listen, how the prophet expressed it in desperation. We know how he speaks about it. Watch when you go to Africa and India, and then people would sit the whole day in the rain waiting for the service. He says, those poor people out there, I've seen women sit out there with their hair just stringing down. Fine dressed people sit in that rain all day long. Just pouring and thundering and lightning and storm. It says, now wait until you come and pray for them. Now you know, God honors faith like that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Faith without works is dead, friends.
Amen. Amen.
Faith is sacrificial.
Mm.
God honors faith like that.
Amen.
If you've got faith, that faith wants to express
yes,
itself.
Amen. Amen.
Those people had faith and they're willing to pay the price to express
Amen.
The faith that was in them.
Amen.
Faith like that. God honors faith like that.
Mm.
He does. You've got to do something for God to honor.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
Friends, we're not adding anything to the redemptive price. We're not. That is an insult to think about.
Mm.
When he said on the cross, it's finished, our redemption was fully paid.
Amen.
But friends, as he's died, as the masterpiece, yeah? As bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, having the same spirit in us, we want to sacrifice something.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
We want to worship him and we feel we've worshipped him.
Mm.
This wasn't just giving out of my abundance, this was giving out of my lack.
Amen.
That's what the widow's mites were.
Yes.
Mm.
That's why Jesus paid attention to the rest that gave. It wasn't a sacrifice for them. But she gave all that she had.
Amen.
So that was a sacrifice. The prophet says, maybe she was walking there with her hungry children next to her.
Mm.
That's how he said. And she took those two mites and put them in for the repairs of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
The building of the temple. And the prophet says, you and I would have run to her and said, sister, don't worry about that.
Mm.
We don't need you. This is what Jesus did. Because Jesus knew what he had for her. Down the way.
Amen. Amen.
You can never attract the attention of the Most High and then not move on the scene.
Amen.
Yeah, when Elijah came to the widow woman and said, give me a little drink. And she turned around and said, okay, give me also a morsel of bread. That was not what you and I would say, okay, let me not buy you something from Tesco. That was the last of the meal.
Amen.
She resolved
Amen.
That she was going to bake a cake for her and her son and they were going to die.
Yes, sir.
There was a price there.
Mm.
She was being called upon to be a burnt offering.
Amen.
To lay everything upon the altar because fire falls on sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Fire falls on sacrifice.
Amen.
And when now she was about to say, look, I only have a little bit. But okay, something changed in her heart. She said, okay.
Amen.
And then came, thus saith the
Lord. Amen.
The cruse of oil shall not go dry, and the barrel of meal will not go waste until the day that the Lord
says. Amen.
Rain upon me, friends. There's something about this principle. You know me, I don't speak of these things much.
Amen.
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 But when it's necessary, we need to speak this.
Amen.
I don't believe we must force anybody in the kingdom of God. I just believe we need to disturb people.
Amen.
Amen. Say, since now we're turning into something that we need the hearts of his children to be. We've got to be protected. This is not a small thing. This is not something we just take our loose change and pay for it. This is something that's going to require his grace. Something
Amen.
That's going to require us to use every resource we've got, every contact that is open for us, all the abilities, all the skills and talents that he's given to us. We've got to put everything into his hands.
Amen.
And then we'll see his hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll do things that you never believed that we'll see God.
Amen.
But there's got to be a price. There's got to be a pinch. There's got to be something we've got to go beyond. That's the only way we can enter into.
Hallelujah.
So our hearts aren't into the midst of it. But I know the sons and daughters of God, their hearts are in it.
Amen.
I know the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
The prophet says you've got to do something for God to honor. You show him. The people that's got everything handed them so easily, they don't do nothing for it, you see. But the gift is free, that's true. But you've got to. It seems like people say, if you're born with a silver spoon, you don't appreciate it. But when you have to work for it,
Amen.
You appreciate the valuation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Right.
That's right. Healing is stored up for us. Deliverance is stored up for us. God's blessing is stored up for us, like it was with Jacob. But he's got to put us in a place that we want it more than anything.
Amen.
He sometimes puts circumstances, because he doesn't want it just to be something that comes easy to us. That we just say, well, that was my right. But sometimes he holds it back until we seek him with all our heart.
Amen.
Until we esteem that thing and desire that thing more than anything else. Then he gives the trust, because then we appreciate it.
Amen.
Right.
Then we say how great this is. And that's the principle of the kingdom. This is what he says in a man running from the presence of the Lord. He says, if there's any strangers with us, we've made that a policy. To never beg, bum, push people for money. And that's our policy as we get into this building fund as well. A policy is a course or a principle of action.
Amen.
The prophet says our policy is to never beg, bum, or push people for money.
Amen.
He says we simply pass the collection plate. That's a religious act.
Amen. Amen.
Passing the collection plate, it's a religious act. Our giving is a religious act. He says, I've tried it many times, not even to pass the collation plate. That's why the brothers said, let's have collation in all services. That's why we did it, because of this quote. I've tried it many times, not even to pass the collection plate, but it didn't work. You see, because giving is a part of our religion.
Amen.
That's right.
You need to realize that, friends.
Amen.
Giving of all that you have. Your body, your soul, your spirit, your time, your strength, your effort.
Not Hallelujah!
God doesn't call us to do that all the time. It just takes a certain portion for himself. He says, what you'll find is take your 9/10. Use it for yourself. Use it for your family. Use it for whatever else. But giving is part of our religion.
Yes.
The same as at certain seasons in time, like with David, he was given rest from his enemies. There came a time now that the Lord was saying, okay, David, now, it's an opportunity now. For giving to be part of the earth.
Amen.
Now, I haven't asked this of you before, David. Before, David, I asked you to use the sword. I asked you to use the shield. I asked you to use your might, your strength, your power. I anointed you in that realm. But in this season, I'm going to anoint you in another realm. I'm going to anoint you in a realm so that you can prepare to build my house. And David, at that time, he prepared. Read your Bible. You go and see what he did. The prophet says, you remember, this is where he gets on to it. Jesus seen a widow passing by one day. With a rich man putting much into the treasure.
Amen.
Of their treasure. And this widow passed by, maybe a couple of little hungry children walking by her side. And she gave everything she had.
Amen.
Two mites. And Jesus said, who paid the most? Now, if I had been standing there, I would have said, don't do that, sister.
Yes.
You see, our human compassion.
Yes.
Gets in the way of God blessing his children. But he never stopped to see. He knew he had something greater going down the road. After all, she had a hope in glory, she was going to. And he never stopped her. He let her put her 3 pennies in because it was just that she wanted to
be. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our friends, let it be like that.
Thank you, Lord.
You do what you want.
Amen. Amen.
And friend, God will do the rest.
Yes.
You do what you can do. Amen. Remember that woman who came and poured out the alabaster box? What did Jesus say about her? He said, she has done all that she could. I think that's what God asks of us.
Just do
all that you can.
Amen.
Just do all that you can. When we get to the end of the road and we come before the Master himself,
Amen.
He's not going to ask us, why don't you do this, that, and the other? He's just wanting us to come with a testimony and say, Lord, I did all that I could.
Amen. Amen.
You might have wanted to do more. You might have been unable to do, like we said last week, things which maybe other people could do.
Amen.
But as long as we can come to the end of the journey and say, Lord, I did what I could. And that's what you're asking the saints of
heaven. Amen.
You just do what you can do.
Amen.
You just wait upon the Lord. You follow his leadership. Amen. And you do what you can do.
Amen.
And I don't think God expects anything more or anything less from us. It's just that we do what we can.
Amen.
When she did all she could, it was just 2 nights. But it attracted the attention of the
Lord.
It was pleasing to them.
Amen.
It's like Sister Hattie when she came, earning $200 capital a year. Digging out the corn in the back woods there of Kentucky. And she came and pledged, first she pledged $50 to the building. $50. That's if you're earning $40,000, you come and pledge $10,000 to the building. And it's not even the same, because when you're rich, you have a lot more spare. But when you've only got a little, for you to take that much of that little, a quarter of that little, that was a serious thing. And the trustees and the custodians of the building, but had to tell us, you can't do that. You can't. And they allowed her to pledge 20. And the prophet says, I knew. It was too much for her. Living there with those 2 boys, her husband having been killed in the tractor accident. He said, and I had $20 in my pocket, me they'd given me for AIDS. And I went up to the Wright's house because I made the communion wine. He says, and I was going to give her that $20 back.
Amen.
And then something told me, stop.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Remember the widow's mind.
Amen.
Amen.
He had something for her down the road.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, and then they're sitting around the table, and the prophet speaks of Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
That was the testimony of our fellowship here.
Amen.
It was Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
And here she was willing to sacrifice to Jehovah, burnt offering to Jehovah Jireh.
Hallelujah.
And she said, that's nothing but
the truth. Amen.
And then the God of heaven came down and honored her.
Amen.
As the first human being.
Yes.
Amen.
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 There's a principle there.
Amen.
And he asked her, what do you want? Say what you want.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the prophet said to her, say $10,000. It'll be on the table.
Amen.
Say, turn your parents back to young men again, young man and woman again.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest desire of man. You see, people after God's own.
Amen.
The greatest desire I have in my heart is the salvation of my 2 boys.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friend, Brother Ram says, God knows how to give it, who to give it to.
Amen.
He knows what you're going to ask.
Amen.
Amen.
But you see, like David, the heart was in it. She wasn't thinking about herself. She wasn't thinking about her needs on the farm. She was just wanting to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
And when the Lord came back to her now, like he came back to David and says, David, because you wanted to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. Look at how the Lord built his sister Hattie's house.
Amen.
But two sons came in there and fell upon the mother's
knees. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost. Oh, friends, that's a kind of reward.
Amen.
And I really do guarantee you, I really believe, from that day to the last day she breathes, it's actually like she was never short.
Amen.
That's right.
Because God remembers. God remembers, friends, he's so faithful. But her heart wasn't. So let's enter into this with our hearts.
Amen.
And as we come to a close and as we come to prayer, if your heart isn't in it, now's the opportunity.
Amen.
While the river's flowing by, jump in.
Amen.
While the river of opportunity is flowing by, don't hesitate.
Amen.
Don't hold back. Don't procrastinate while waiting to see what's going to happen. The opportunity will pass you by.
Amen.
Take advantage of your seasons of visitation.
Amen. Amen.
If you need healing, sense the season.
Amen.
Take advantage of your visitation. If you need deliverance, the season's for deliverance.
Amen.
But there come certain opportunities where you're able to express something back to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This is one of those seasons.
Amen.
So let's sense.
Hallelujah.
Let's walk softly before God.
Amen.
Let's be like Nehemiah. Let's seek his face.
Mm.
Let's draw near to him and say, Lord, is there not something that I can do? You might say, I'm at college. What can I do? Mm. You'll be surprised.
Mm.
The prophet says, that little boy with his lunch, he thought this little lunch is nothing. Mm. The need is great. There's 5,000 people needing food. But when he was willing to sacrifice his lunch, and he put it in the hands of Jesus, it fed 5,000 people. Our friend, and the prophet says, what is the need? Let's consecrate it to the hands of God. Let's seek Him to lead and guide us in this. And I believe it will benefit us as a church tremendously.
Amen.
Because we're going to see the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
We're going to see Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
We're going to see, and you're going to, and I are going to learn principles of faith that you never learned before.
Amen.
But we're going to have to pay a price.
Yes, sir.
He's not just going to do it all for
us. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to be like Abraham. He's going to say,
hallelujah.
Bring your son. Most precious son, the one that you love. And come and offer him as a burnt offering.
Amen.
And you now look and say, that I never thought following this message was going to come to this. I never thought I was going to be asked to sacrifice so much. Friends, it's free will offering. Abraham didn't have to do it. But God revealed his mind.
Amen.
And God opened a channel to him. And Abraham crossed down the reason. Laid aside his understanding. He just followed in that channel. And he got up early the next morning and cut the wood himself. Made sure it was done properly. Took the fire.
Amen.
Took his son by the hand and took him to Mount Moriah. 3 days' journey. Plenty of time to think about. And when he got there, he bound up his son. And he took the sacrificial knife. And I was about to plunge the knife in, and then the angel called and said, all I wanted to do was to see what was in his
eyes.
I just wanted to see whether you love me.
Amen.
Yes. Now I know you love me.
Amen.
Because you weren't going to withhold anything back from
me. Amen.
Sometimes he may say, you may think you'll have to give something, but you don't.
Yeah.
He just wants to see you express a willingness.
Amen.
He just wants to see a certain attitude inside. And that's pleasing to him.
Amen.
And then came some of the greatest verses of blessing in the Bible. Yeah, you go and read Genesis 22. When the Lord came and blessed Abraham, he said, in blessing I will bless you. I'll bless your seed. I'll make your name great.
Amen.
I'll establish nations through you.
Amen.
And your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy.
Amen.
What does he say to Abraham? Abraham, you are willing to sacrifice the one that you put your faith in to build your house.
Mm.
So I'm going to build you a house.
Amen.
And this house I'm going to build you is never going to finish.
Mm.
And that's what we're speaking about the glory of Christ. So friends, it's a golden opportunity.
Amen.
Let's get into the Spirit. The prophet says, before we do anything for God, the first thing, get in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the key. Get in the Spirit. Think back to all the Lord's done for you. Think in His goodness. Draw near to His throne and bring the wind. Lay yourself upon the altar and say, Lord, what would you desire from us at this time? And all we're asking you to do is follow His
leadership.
Follow His leadership. Just do what you can. Just do it in the Spirit. Just do it with a willing heart. And you'll be more than sufficient to get the job.
Amen.
Amen.
Sufficient, because like we said last week, when Moses said to the children of Israel, God desires a house. Whichever of his people is willing, let them bring an offering. Let them bring gold or silver, wood, shittim wood. Let them bring porcelain skins. Let them bring onyx stones, diamonds, and all the things that you require. And Moses just put out the need of the Lord to the children of God. And there were people that were moved. And they came and they started to bring to the offering. And there was too much. And Moses had to go to church and they'd say, saints, please don't bring any more money. Don't bring any more, more than sufficient to get the job done. That's how it was in the shadow, friends. Let it be so in the
heavens. Amen.
Let's sing that song. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. This is more than enough.
Honor. We
gracious to me. Oh Lord, you are so precious to me.
We love you.
And I love you. Yes, I love you.
So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. What do you think about him? What do you think about him today? Will you take him at his word and accept him for who he says that he is?
Amen.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man.
Amen.
That's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What think you of Christ? Will you accept him for who he is today?
Amen.
Because he'll do much for you. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll deliver you of your sin. He'll start a new chapter in your life.
Yes.
But there's a price that you have to pay. He's telling you, come. Lay yourself down at my feet and give it all over to me. And I'll take that life of yours and I'll make it into what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
What think ye of Christ? The Bible, Jesus said, he who loves his life shall lose it. But he who hates his life shall gain it unto life eternal. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of his word? What about us as believers? What do we think of Christ? What value do you put on him?
Amen.
I remember hearing a message when Brother Bristol preached of the value of his
word.
And the same chapter of the alabaster box, the same chapter of Judas, goes and sells Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Our friends, there's difference in the value that they gave of him.
Amen.
What value do you put on? Is he worth everything to you? Will you do anything that he says? Will you go anywhere that he leads? Will you become anything that he wants you to be? A genuine believer here today can say amen to all of you.
Amen.
To say, not in my power, Lord, not in my might, but as you give me the victory.
Hallelujah.
Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, whatever your need is today. What think you of Christ? It says in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The same shall be saved. It's so simple. We just need to call upon him. If your heart is troubled today, just call upon him. Because he's the master of the world.
Amen.
If you're sick today and you're struggling with sickness, call upon him because he's Jehovah.
Amen.
If you're burdened by your sin, call upon him. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Let's call upon him a little bit before we dismiss.
Amen.
Whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart is a burden.
Hallelujah.
Let's take that burden to the Lord and let's leave it. Let's come to a time.
Let's show the conditional code. that we will come to us. This is what our life knows. And Lord, that we will rise up to the translation. And Lord, shed your promise upon us. God, we have mercy back to the Lord.
Some special meetings next month, July 8th and 9th, that Brother Jason Watkins and Brother Reagan are preaching at Brother Crosby. So I just wanted to say that to the saints. I'm hoping to go myself, Brother Crosby, going to invite me across. So I'm sure if anybody else would desire to go, they'll be more than happy to see the saints there. I think it'll be a blessing. So it's the Saturday and the Sunday. Both of them will take two services. That's the 8th and the 9th. That's Brother Jason Watkins and Brother Johnny Reagan. So whoever can come, let's go. And then we have our youth meetings with planning. We spoke about on Friday. To those who went here on Friday, the way's opened up for us down at Wicklow once again. I think it's 18th up to 22nd around that time. So we're planning, by the grace of God, to have something for youth then. We can have up to 38 people down there. I'm sure we could squeeze one or two more. But let's be in prayer for that as well. We'll let you know as we get closer to the time of the final arrangements are. But please pray for those meetings and may the Lord really bless them. That's the Lord opened the way. The place was fully booked in November. They let us know they brought home on last week and there's an opening for us for that little season in July. So that's the grace of God. So may the will of the Lord be done. Let's sing one chorus. We ask for the little kids, would you come and chorus for us in the word of prayer?
Holy pledge, I pledge allegiance to the Lord.
Your precious holy name.
Right.
Lord, you ordered our footsteps, Lord, to come into your house, sing the songs of Zion. Father, oh God, even in the preaching of the word today, what a mighty thing that you have done.
Amen.
For Lord, many times if we would look with human eyes, we would look at it, Lord, and maybe think some other things, Lord. But it is in the preaching of your word, oh God, that many times you reveal your will unto your people.
Amen.
Thank you this afternoon, oh God.
Amen.
We don't know what we would do, what words we could use, Lord.
Amen.
But we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy word. For Lord, we have known our pastor for many years, oh God.
Amen.
And he has made such a great sacrifice today. To go against even his very nature, Lord, to speak about these things, oh God, it's because something is happening in Dublin, something is happening in our midst, oh God. Father, you are moving somehow.
Yes.
You are bringing us into a certain place, spiritually and physically.
Thank
Lord,
you.
We see how we have stirred among our youth, Lord. There's something happening today, oh God. We see how you are stirring even the little ones, Lord, the young children in Sunday school. Lord, you are moving in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
Even in the church among us that have walked with you for many years. Lord, it's never been like this, oh God, where we feel that something is moving.
Amen.
As the pastor had said, Lord, help us, Father, that we would jump in with all that we have.
Amen.
Let us be like the children of Israel. Lord, when they remembered the things that you did for them, how they were under the lash of the taskmaster for many, many years, oh God. But you did a mighty thing in their
midst,
and you set them free by your mighty hand, with miracles happening in Egypt. Lord, when they remembered that thing, Lord, they so longed to do something for you, that when Moses came and stood before them and said, the Lord has showed me a vision to build him a tabernacle. Oh God, Father, it did something to the hearts of the people, that for the first time, oh God, they could do something for you, Lord, after you had delivered them, oh God. We are so thankful, Lord, that without money, without price, Lord, you saved us. You redeemed us, oh God. And today we are called the sons and daughters of God, Lord, without any price. But yet an opportunity has come, Lord, that we could also express our gratitude unto you, Lord.
Amen.
Let it be in our hearts, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Let it be, oh God, that we would pour ourselves into
Amen.
Us, that, Lord, we would show our love also unto
yes,
you,
Lord.
Help us, Father, that would go into one accord, that would go under one vision, Lord.
Amen.
To work together, oh God, that, Father, we may let you, Lord, express yourself fully
Amen.
And teach us faith and do the things that you want
yes,
us
Lord.
To do for you, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, oh Lord. Bless us this afternoon, oh Lord, as we go from this place. I pray for everyone, oh God, even those that do not know you, Lord. Let it be the hour, Lord,
Amen.
That would make it in their hearts, Lord,
yes,
that decision
Lord.
That we will serve you, Lord.
Amen.
And us that have saved you, Lord, help us in this time of peace.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We may build an altar in our hearts, Lord.
Amen.
And restore it, oh God, that Father would offer the sacrifices that are pleasing unto you,
Amen.
Father. Bless us, I pray. Bless the word unto our hearts, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Even the meetings that have been announced, Brother Crosby's, Lord, I pray you would help us, that, Father, when we would go, we would receive of thy word.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for the youth meetings coming, oh God, that, Father, you would send to us the right man, Lord, with the right word for that.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, for every one of these children that are working, may you give them time off even that time,
yes, Lord,
that they will be present to receive from you, Lord.
Yes.
Bless us, Father, for the remainder of the day. Let the meditation of our hearts, Lord, continually be upon thy word.
Yes,
oh, Lord, when the enemy tries to come, that, Father, he may make us to think something or this or that, Lord. May we withstand him in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus Christ,
yes.
that he would not come to bring anything contrary, but that we may dwell upon thy word.
Amen.
Bless us until we meet, Lord. I until we would come on Wednesday, we ask that you continue to keep us,
Lord. Amen.
That you bless every brother, every sister that has stood in their post, Lord, to their bit. I ask your blessing upon them.
Yes,
that,
Lord.
Father, you continue to keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
I don't know why. One more time, please.
Oh, I don't know why Jesus loves me.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Whoa.